My guests today are The Broken Remotes, myspace.com/TheBrokenRemotes and TheBrokenRemotes.com. We're going to start by listening to a track from their new CD, and then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff, so stick around. It's going to be great. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is The Broken Remotes. Well, one of The Broken Remotes at any rate.
Yeah.
How are you?
Just one of us. Good. How are you, John?
Thanks for coming in. And tell me just, you know, real quick, sort of what is The Broken Remotes in terms of, is it, you know, this guy and a guitar and his band, or is this a project, a collaborative effort? How does it work?
Yeah, it's definitely a collaborative effort. It's kind of hopefully always growing. It's started off as me and I had a drummer whose name I shall not mention a long time ago, and we were doing it together, and we had a falling out, and then I found Amy Wood, who you know from all wrong and the plans change.
And they just changed their name.
They just changed their name again, yeah. Now they're called No Love Letters. And they're playing with another friend of yours, Percy, from Buddy's band.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that band is great, and we actually played a show with them at Mr. T's a week ago. But anyways, yeah, Amy and I are the Broken Remotes. We have my housemate, actually, is a guy named Mark Lane, one of the most ridiculously fantastic musicians in L.A. Who, have you had him on your show, too? He's a great solo artist. He's like Elliot Smith meets XTC somehow.
Nice. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. So he's the bass player, and he's like gotten to the point where now it's me, Amy, and Mark. And then in a strange, strange twist, Amy's father, John Wood, is playing with us. So I may be the first person to have a band with a father-daughter combination.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed there's been a lot of bands lately with married couples in them and like that kind of, you know, dual role relationships, but not a lot of father-daughter
bands. That might be unique. And then the very latest, as if John Wood and Amy Wood wasn't enough, the keyboard player that's going to be joining us for the show at the Scene in a week is also named John Wood. So there's two guys named John Wood in the band.
Oh, that's awesome. And so that'll be three guys named John.
Yeah. That'll be three guys named John, three people with the last name Wood. The oldest person in the band is named John Wood, and the youngest person in the band is named John Wood.
Wow.
It sounds like
so you should change the name to the John Woods or something.
Yeah.
The Johns.
Well, I made it. Somewhere I posted a joke about that. I was like, this is not a Ramones stunt. This is, we really have two John Woods in the band.
Now, do you do the bulk of the singer-songwriter element of this band? Like,
yeah,
do you bring in songs and then work it out with the rest of the band?
Yeah, we do the thing where it's been kicking around on piano or guitar at home, and then I bring it in, and Amy lays down the iron fist and is like, I tend to pick the wrong tempo for sure off the bat, and she's like, this is way, way too fast. We need to chill it out and find a groove, or vice versa, this has no energy. And so I'm a big, you know, writing the song, writing the beat is a huge part of writing the song. So I don't discount Amy's involvement in the songwriting at all.
So you kind of design the dresses and she's your Tim Gunn. You know, tells you what's going to work and what it's going to take to make it work.
I would love to be able to say that I have no idea what you're talking about.
But you know exactly what I mean.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, that's
guy in relationship talk.
Yeah. Dude, my ex-girlfriend got me into that show, and I can't believe I'm talking about it on the radio. Yes, I've watched
sorry,
that show.
Sorry, I didn't mean to ambush you with the
I've seen the show.
Fashion reality
Dude, I'm sorry.
TV.
Hey, one of the guy that won it had a tattoo over his neck, all
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like that's that right. Guy's like balls of steel
yeah,
designer.
That's badass. You want to jump into a live song?
Yeah, as opposed to what you just heard. Speaking of tempos, this is a slow, like waltzy country thing that we do.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Broken Remotes.
You're cut on the back, I'm calling the doctor. Your spirit's intact, but you're so hard to talk to. If I fall past the floor, just leave me. I've slept there before. Someone trained you well, you look happy to see me. Got dirt on your shoes, cocaine on the bedsheet. You clean up so well, and I'm not surprised, 'cause I found you in the pages of the Weekly Magazine. What you left for? Well, tell me, what did you find? Another time I might stay a while, but not tonight. All these faces look tired. Some turn round and leave me. Songs strapped to my chest. Words no one believes in fall flat off the stage. And out from under these lights, I take my cut off the door as I wait by the exit. My fingers still twitch, they're wrapped around a cigarette. In there with a match, and you're not surprised, 'cause you found me in the pages of the Weekly Magazine. Isn't this what you left for? Well, tell me, what did you find? Another time I might stay a while, but not tonight.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the Broken Remotes. Are the Broken Remotes?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Is John of the Broken Remotes?
That'll come up a few times. If there's an S at the end of your band name,
yeah.
Is it an is or is it an R?
Well, I have the problem with the you know, band name Is Good. Yeah. So like the Broken Remotes.
Is Good is.
Be Good.
Yeah. I know. Who knows what to do with that?
What came for you first? Was it playing guitar or singing?
Definitely playing guitar. What came for me first was the trumpet after a knockdown, drag-out fight with my parents about playing the drums when I was a kid. Somehow, I don't see it personally. It seems to me like a kid playing the trumpet very badly and loudly in your house
would be something that they wouldn't
every,
want.
Is every bit as obnoxious as somebody playing the drums really badly and loudly.
Hmm.
But they steered me towards the trumpet, and you know, I guess in the end it's good, you know.
I guess probably they were thinking, you know, when was the last time you heard like a trumpet player like
yeah, trumpet player ODs.
ODs like caught doing blow like, off a hooker and like
yeah. I mean, after some of the jazz stories we've read, you know.
That's true.
That
yeah.
It's like, well, I was bound to be hooked on smack instead of cocaine.
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, maybe they should have just given you a kazoo or something. Yeah. Called it a day.
Yeah. Yeah, so I started on trumpet, and I did, you know, I was the geek, man. I played in jazz band in high school. I played in marching band until I had to quit. I'm sorry, I had to quit marching band. You just cannot, talk to ladies and with the hat, with the furry, with the furry thing on top of it. So, yeah, I did that.
I just lost my entire Russian audience.
yeah. I still remember the name. It was called the plume. We kept the plume in a separate case. It had its own case. Like you traveled with your plume in its case.
That's the hat with
no.
That was the feather, the furry thing
that went in the hat. God. All right. Let's review. I'm talking about my secret history in marching band and the fact that I've watched. I got it. What's the name of the show now?
Project Runway. Yeah. Well, we've only just begun
this
the interview
is,
process.
This is not going well.
Yeah. So you picked up a guitar, and did you teach yourself to play guitar?
Yeah, I taught myself to play guitar. I had actually my English teacher in high school, a guy named Mr. Ray, or in hindsight, I guess his first name was David. David Ray gave me some tablature. He taught me what tablature was, and which, you know, is the brainless way of reading guitar music. I don't know if you... has numbers. It's like paint by numbers, except for guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave me tablature. I remember he gave me a guitar strap. He was like, he was really supportive. He was really cool for, you know, a random English teacher at school. But
this is like high school.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in a blue collar, not completely artless town, but like there were no local bands, there were no local art galleries or anything. So I didn't play in a, you know, I didn't play in a band until college. But
and then when did you start to sing?
I don't know, that's a good question.
Was it just sort of like, you know, you decided you wanted to write songs and then well, somebody's got to sing them, so you just open up your mouth and that's what came out?
I think the first song I wrote was probably like a junior in college, and it didn't occur to me to like hire someone else to come over and sing it, so I started singing, and it was, you know, a friend of mine said, I suppose everyone should get this note if they don't. She came to a show and she heard me sing. It was one of the first times I ever sang in public. And she said, wow, you know, the songs were great. Have you ever thought about taking vocal lessons?
How did you process that?
Man, I was hurt. I gotta admit, that's a little crushing. But yeah, I mean, expecting the first time you sing for it to come out and to be brilliant is like expecting the first time you pick up a guitar to sound good.
Yeah, and you gotta be willing to play the instrument wrong before you get it right.
Exactly. And you also gotta be willing to listen to people when they're like, dude, it's, you know, work on it. So, whatever, it's an ongoing process. My voice is not trained and it's not, I don't feel in control of it at all, but at the same time, I love Iggy, I love Stephen Malkmus, I love people, Wayne Coyne, I love people that are a little bit out of control.
Yeah.
Of their voices.
Yeah, I always admire that too. Like when I think about it, like some of my favorite singer-songwriters, they're technically not, you know, like none of these people would win American Idol, you know what I mean? Like they're technically not really good singers. No, that's not really the right way to put it though. It's like they're good singers, they're amazing performers. Maybe they're not using, you know, traditional style of vocalization. They've sort of created their own style.
Yeah.
Have you seen your own style kind of evolve, like as you put the band together and, you know, you're setting into a certain kind of music and your voice has sort of modified itself to go with that music?
Yeah. You know, I actually know where, how high I can scream and how low I can sing. And so, I try to in most songs like get to the point where if I'm not yelling, there's some type of like vocal climax. I don't know. I think I've become more aware of what I love about songs, what really endears me to songs, which ends up being like the one moment at the end. This isn't like anything new. I'm not doing brain surgery, but like the one moment at the end where the singer strains and hits the highest note of the song or the whatever. So I try to not write songs that are flat and in the same like vocal range the whole time, I guess.
So you like to have it sort of build up and have there be some sort of climax.
Yeah, and you know, if there's a yell or a hoot or a holler at some point, then that's usually ends up being the most memorable part of the song. So
let's listen to another track from this CD. Is this this looks like this is hot off the press.
In 2008 we got to the point where we only really made promo copies of the CD, and other than that, that CD is completely a digital sale. Mm-hmm. There were 50 copies available for sale on the internet, so it's all, you know, iTunes all the way, pretty much with that.
So this is Tonight's Last Stand, and so people can go to iTunes and
absolutely, buy it. Yeah.
What should we listen to?
Why don't we try? Tell you what, why don't you just do track two?
Excellent choice. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is The Broken Remotes. Stick around.
Is this your best design? stood now lays in ruin.
And all their tears have gone.
And though you built your scaffolding, but on me, for strength it must rely. I've been written off. I've been written off before. We handed them our voices just in time to hear them say farewell. We just wanted to be counted. Bodies pressed together, arms of a law. Will I yell it for myself? And I yell it out of fear. At the last abandoned payphone, while someone's calling, but the ringing no one hears. I've been written off. I've been written. Just in time to hear them say farewell. We just wanted to be counted. Bodies pressed together, arms held aloft. Well, I'm ashamed by what it takes to appease myself. At least I stood in line like everybody else. We just wanted to be counted. Bodies pressed together, arms held aloft.
We're back on Is Good, hanging out with John from the Broken Remotes. And, you know, one thing that, you know, we listened to you just do this kind of laid-back country acoustic song, and we've listened to two tracks off your CD, and they're pretty rocking. I mean, there's some, you know, some heaviness to them, some distortion to them. How do you, where do you find your balance from the sort of, like, I'm a sensitive singer-songwriter guy to the I'm an indie rock, you know, power pop thing?
Well, you know, we put that first song that I played that was really slow and waltzy, and we put that on the album. It's tucked away there late in the CD, I guess. And, you know, we all enjoy playing slow songs and taking a little bit to, and, you know, and keeping slow songs in the set when we play live and allowing things to breathe a little bit, because it's just wall-to-wall, up-tempo, clanging guitars. I don't know, maybe it... You know, it definitely has its place, but I enjoy playing more and recording more when we can change it up. But I don't know. I mean, the lyrics in that song we could easily play that double time and it would be punk rock, Johnny Cash style. But I don't know. Just like everybody else, you know, my tastes are eclectic, and everyone says that, and it's never really true for anyone. As soon as someone says my tastes are eclectic, you flip through their CD. Their case logic, and you're like, not so much.
Yeah, it means they listen to Morning Becomes eclectic. It doesn't mean it's actually eclectic.
It means that one time when they're 14 years old, they bought one Far Side CD.
Yeah. But. So is rocking out sort of an important element to the Broken Remotes? Like, you know, having a kind of high energy thing? As well?
It's definitely, especially as anyone that's ever played music knows, when you're in a room with a band and the amps are on and humming, like, you want to play fast and you want to play loud. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's got to be how metal evolved. It's just like the faster and louder you play, like, the more fun it is. And, you know, I mean, you can argue that point a lot of different ways, but it's great. It's like a release and yelling, and there's something, especially for a punk-styled singers, there's also something great about things being so loud and obnoxious that you can sing however you want. And it either hides the vocals or the vocals, screened vocals, sound fine along with it or whatever. So I know I definitely enjoy that. The 12-year-old in me that, you know, whose favorite band is the Ramones, now, agrees with that.
This must also kind of correlate to like what kind of venues you like to play in too, because you can't be loud in every venue.
Yeah,
and you have to pick the right venues and the right scene. I mean, especially if you're doing something loud and sort of amped up, you know, yeah. It has to be for the right kind of audience who's in the mood for it.
Yeah, totally. We've been invited a couple times by, various promoters or whoever to play Tangier. And I'm just, you know, I played Tangier a bunch of times with Birdie, who you may know. I used to play bass with Birdie, and it's the perfect setting for Birdie. It's great. It's quiet and intimate and can hear everything. But
yeah, but your music's not the kind that you're going to be like...
I really think, yeah.
Drinking a white wine and eating a...
And that's fine. Obviously, I have no problem with that. I go to Tangier once a week, probably, but it's... Yeah, the people just tell us to turn down, and
yeah,
it would be really obnoxious. So, yeah. So, Silver Lake Lounge is kind of like ground zero for our style music, I guess.
You want to do another live song?
Sure. This is a new song, which is not on any of those CDs you have.
All right, whenever you're ready.
Keep your ear pressed against the wall before you hear the warden's footsteps fall. The klaxon wails, they know you've made your escape. Reckless with love and careless with friends, you're down on your knees, you've seen death from above. Carry a grudge, but you can't stand the sight of blood. When you call her, there's nobody there. She's your last resort, another tawdry affair. You just realized you're on your own again. You're on your own again. Your palm pressed against my heart. Will it weld at the seams where you tore it apart? The klaxon wails, they know you've made your escape. Careless with friends and reckless with love, you're down on your knees, you've seen death from above. You carry a grudge, but you can't stand the sight of blood. When you call her, there's nobody there. She's your last resort, another tawdry affair. You just realize you're on your own again. You're on your own again. When will these teenage problems go away? Kicked in the heart, now you cry all day. When you call her, there's nobody there. She's your last resort, another tawdry affair. You just realize you're on your own again. When you call her, there's nobody there. She's your last resort, another tawdry affair. You just realize you're on your own again. You're on your own again.
You're listening to Is Good. My guest is John from the Broken Remotes. I want to say the Broken Ramones. there's something, I don't know, I'm picking up on that last song. There's something distinctly not American about it. There's some sort of like a seemed like a British influence to it, and the style of the songwriting, something very Stone Roses-y about it. Is that, I mean, what kind of music were you influenced by in your youth that kind of...
Well, first of all, I'll take that as the highest compliment. Yeah, hopefully...
And let me follow that by saying, why do you love terrorism?
I sincerely hope that it's not when people, and myself included, start going down the road of you know, allowing their Brit pop and Brit punk influences to take over, they let a British accent affectation seep into their voice, which I admit I may be guilty of to a certain extent.
Well, you really need to do that, though.
I'm trying to limit it as much as possible.
Yeah, but that's also part of singing in general, I think, is you tend not to emphasize your R's very much, you know? Yeah. Like, it helps to sound just ever so British, no matter what you're singing.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to overdo it.
A little bit of British is okay. Yeah, I don't want to be like the male Madonna, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whatever.
No, but I'm referring more to the style of songwriting and the pace of the music. And
yeah, I'm definitely, you know, when the first Libertines album came out, I was like, oh my god, this is what I've wanted modern punk, for lack of a better, I don't know how to modify punk anymore, like post-modern punk, I don't know.
Yeah.
But whatever Libertines is, as far as having elements of pop and definitely elements of punk in it, and obviously very British, I knew that that's what... I was like, oh, I love that, you know? And obviously they're not that old, so they're not like a lifelong influence of mine, but that they ended up hitting the nail on the head for me. So yeah, Stone Roses, Libertines... I mean,
and what do you think?
The Beatles, man. What do you want me to say?
You know, you have to say the Beatles. But what do you think it is about that style or that influence, especially like in terms of, like, does it affect the kind of things that you like to write about? Like, is there something you can kind of identify and articulate as coming from that world that makes it different from American pop? Contemporary.
I'll say this for Libertines and Arctic Monkeys are the first two bands that come to mind, and Stone Roses too, is not being afraid to be every bit as articulate in your songs as you are in real life. Like, for lack of a better phrase, like, you don't need to dumb it down just because it's fast and just because it may sound like punk. It doesn't need to be dumb. But I mean, Ian McKay could give you the same effect, but.
Well, what do you like to write about? What are some themes you tend to come back to in your work?
I don't know. Like everyone else, I guess love and relationships is a big one. Not having money and not feeling like you have a direction in life is a big one. For me personally, I feel like a lot of songs end up coming out of the fact that I still feel like a kid from the little town transplanted into a big city. So I'm really not disillusioned with the big city. I'm fine with the big city.
How long have you been in LA?
I've been here for 8 years.
Yeah, I've been here for 9 years, and LA has this sort of amazing quality to it that you can come here and not feel like you're from here for the longest time. Yeah, you can always feel like you've moved here.
It's funny that I was just telling somebody that. I'm like, I've lived here for 8 years, and I still, when someone says, where are you from? And I say New Hampshire. They're like, no, I mean, where do you live? And I'm like, oh, well, you're right. I'm from LA.
Yeah.
I can't wrap my head around that. But
well, let's listen to another track from some music you brought in. You have, Brian, a couple of different CDs that we can play stuff from whatever's in there. Or?
Well, speaking of my favorite influences, you can break out the first LP we recorded. This is with the drummer whose name I shall not mention. You gotta understand this guy. You know what? I'm not even gonna validate him by telling stories about how badly that went down.
Oh, that's a shame. It happens. You know, it's like bands are relationships. You know, and if it doesn't work out, it can be really awful, and you can't even look at pictures of each other afterwards.
I remember telling him, and it's so badly. I remember telling him, I was like, dude, you've ruined me. I'm so upset. This has bothered me so much, I don't think I can ever play in a band again.
Wow.
Which, looking back on it, is such a relationship thing to say.
You're just
like, I'm never going to feel in love again.
I know. And you do. You end up finding, you know, the right band.
Yeah. Now I'm married. I got three kids with the broken remotes.
Right. So what track are we going to listen to? And this is an album called Throw Me the Keys. This was your debut album?
Yeah. Track 8.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Broken Remotes. Stick around.
Sing your ass off this time, okay?
Okay. I wasn't trying last time.
Sometimes I feel so happy, sometimes I feel so sad. Sometimes I feel about everything, but mostly you just make me mad. Mostly you just make me mad. Linger on, where you've been with your eyes. Linger on, where you've been with your eyes. I thought of you as my mountaintop. I thought of you as my peak. I thought of you as everything I had but couldn't keep. I had but couldn't keep. Linger on, your pale blue eyes. Linger on.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is John of The Broken Remotes. What would you say is the primary sonic difference between this album, Throw Me the Keys, and your newer album, Tonight's Last Stand? I mean, you have different members in the band. Your music has changed and evolved over the years.
Yeah, I mean, biggest sonic difference, I don't know. I think the songwriting is better. I don't think there's a giant... You know, I think if you listen to one next to the other, you'll be like, oh, this is the same band. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit older, a little bit smarter. But
you're just sort of getting better at what you do.
Getting better at what you do and, yeah, just writing better songs. And, I mean, to be honest, that cover of The Velvets aside, I'm pretty embarrassed by the lyrics on that album. You know, for me, I think songwriting and lyric writing, I don't sit at home and, like, and play scales, so it's not like you're going to be like, oh, wow, the guitar playing is a lot better on that second record. But, you know, maybe you'll be like, oh, you know, that's a cooler riff, or it's a better constructed song. I don't know. If you're thinking about the songs this intellectually, I guess you should probably just turn the CD player off. But
what about the live performance? Has that changed for you, like, in the way you feel when you're on stage? Are you more comfortable, or have you started doing different things on stage than when you started?
Every time you step on stage, I think it gets a little more comfortable, but at the same time, we don't play enough that it's like at all boring or we're getting to the point where like, oh, we got to play that song again, you know, doing the same set, you know, after doing a tour with Birdie where we played the exact same set 25 nights in a row or whatever it was, like, you're just like, really? I don't even know if I believe in this song anymore, because it's like, you know, you're reading a script a little bit and kind of phoning it in. But the space between the Broken Remote shows has been enough, and we changed the set enough that it remains exciting to me. And it's funny, I show up, we try to, haven't been good at, this is going to be a lie, we're not going to do it next set, but we try to play a song that's never been played before at every show.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally been the rule. And I, you know, I would show up for the gig just to play that one song. That is the hype. I can get myself totally excited about the whole night just knowing that we're going to play.
Right, because then it's more than just a gig. It's more than just doing a job. It's also an experiment, and something new and exciting might happen. And
yeah, and
you get to test out new material on the audience.
And it's great, and it somehow makes the whole set feel alive, like it's actually like a work in progress, and it's something new to you and new to the audience. And I mean, that's my favorite. It was up, if we could write and rehearse songs fast enough, we would play multiple new songs at every show.
What's your relationship with the recording process, and how is that different for you than doing the live performances?
The recording process, I have lots of different relationships to it. I've had very bad relationships with it, and I've had great relationships with it. Everyone knows the extent to which things are done in the computer now lets you record something at home and then email it to a buddy, and they play bass on it, gets sent around the world. FTP this, FTP that, and then you get back this song, and it's very, very rare that that ends up being a very interesting recording, you know.
Because you lost that live energy between the performers?
For, not to sound like, you know, old man that forces people to record on 2-inch tape, but there's, four people or five people or whatever in a room playing music together and recording everything. Not only is that great, not only does that lead to happy accidents and great energy and everything else, but it also forces you to actually do takes. Be like, all right, that was take one. That take one is what it is. Let's play it again. Now take two. That is what it is. And it's a lot. Maybe it's just nostalgia for the days of the Beatles where they'd be like, all right, take seven. That's the one.
Right.
But it's great, man. You realize if you've ever recorded like that, you realize that the difference, even if you're playing to a click track, to a metronome that makes you play at the exact same tempo every time, there's a huge energy and just general vibe difference between takes. So I'm rambling now, but that's my favorite way to record, and that produces the best results for most people.
Do you sort of really enjoy sort of getting it down to eventually being the perfect track, or is it more... Do you see yourself more as a live performer who has to put out a CD, you know?
I enjoy both. I tell you, the biggest thing about having a finished recording is for me, it at least allows me to move on from the song and start writing something else. You're like, all right, that's done. At least there's a record of that. That's how that song goes.
It's the official version of that song. Yeah.
That's how it goes. Let's talk about the next one. It's very freeing. To me, it's very freeing to, you know, finally put on an album or have something finally be on iTunes or whatever. You're just like, all right, that's done. That is what it is. We can play those songs at a show if we want, but now our job is to write new material. So
let's do another live song.
Sure.
What are you gonna play?
I'm gonna play, if you thought the first song was slow, I'm gonna play an even slower song. This song's called Shut Off the Machines. It's off the new album.
This is the Broken Remotes on Is Good.
There's a straight line between forgiveness and revenge, and it passes through the bullet in my teeth. Well, the wire's been cut, you still hold the other end. Know that the message you leave won't be heard by your friend.
cracks in the sidewalk are bleeding again. Bright shocks of color and cold veins of gray. There's a well-trodden path to your corner liquor store. Well, when the knock comes at last, it won't be me at your door. Shut off the machines. Well, I don't trust them. They don't trust me. Well, there is no faith between us, because I never threatened to leave. Shut off the machines. Well, I don't trust them. They don't trust me. Well, there is no faith between us, because I never threatened to leave. Shut off the machines. Well, I don't trust them. They don't trust me. Well, as long as they're between us, there'll be no one. There'll be no one to blame. Thick, dirty glass blurs an aging lithograph, obscures forgotten details of your oft-remembered past. Were it offered you again, would your answer be the same? Well, now your back is to an elevator shaft. You're faced with the flame.
Dude, that is a great song. That is a really, really good song.
Thank you.
My guest is John of the Broken Remotes. And what's that song called?
Shut Off the Machines.
And, you know, it's interesting because it's so, you know, dynamically different from the stuff that we've listened to on your CDs.
Right.
But undeniably, you know, in your style at the same time.
Yeah, you know, the producer that we've worked with, a guy named Ronan Chris Murphy, who deserves a plug because he's a fantastic producer. I told him when we set, so we were working on the song, and I was like, oh God, what are people going to like hear this and be like, what the hell is this? Doesn't make any sense even going on this record with all these up-tempo louder songs. And he was just like, dude, it's your voice. It's your lyrics, you know. It's all of you guys playing the music. It sounds like you. He gave us really positive support as far as being like, listen, this is your personality. Like, if you think everyone is happy all the time or everyone's sad all the time, it's not true. It just displays, you know, the range of normal human emotion. Hopefully,
what kind of feedback do you get from your audience? What kind of like reaction do you want to get from your audience? Do you imagine them, you know, listening to your CD in the car or rocking out at a show, or what is your relationship with your audience?
You know, obviously MySpace and Facebook and all the other networking sites and bloggers to a big degree give you like instant feedback and like really, really personal feedback. And sometimes you read things, you're like, maybe I shouldn't even be reading this. I think we all get that feeling when we read blogs. You're like, oh my God, that's a lot of information. And you're being really honest. But it's cool. It's great to hear that people respond to songs and usually interpret songs completely differently from the way you wrote them. And yeah, I don't know, the relationship with fans at shows. You know, this last show at Mr. T's Bowl was great. The set, for whatever reason, felt had a lot of energy and was a lot of fun. And it was, you know, it's at Mr. T's Bowl. It's like laid back and no one cares. And
it's a fun place.
I played
like
nothing but
path.
Wrong notes. I didn't play one right note the whole time.
They were all right in their own way.
Yeah, it was very jazzy set for me. It's like Ornette Coleman does the Broken Remotes. But people after the show were really enthusiastic about it, and yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I love that feedback. I love seeing it.
Is that what makes for a good live show for you? Sort of, you know, seeing that the audience enjoyed it, or do you base it more on, you know, how well you think you played, or how many people showed up, or
you know, especially from this Mr. T show, which was kind of like a warm up show for our show coming up next Wednesday. We didn't really publicize it that much, and it was, you know, it's in Highland Park on a Monday night, and so it was kind of, you know, I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't packed. This wasn't, you know, Beatles at Shea Stadium. This was however many people, but they'd come to see the music and they knew the songs, and I really didn't care. We had a blast playing, and as far as making people happy. It's like anything else. It's like if you're a painter or a writer or whatever, like if you make yourself really happy, then people can pick up on that in an instant. Like if Amy and John and John and me
and John and the other John
and Mark, if we're all having a good time and we're really, you know, we're playing the songs with all the enthusiasm and honesty that they deserve, then nothing's going to stop the audience from picking up on that. You know, I give a lot of credit to people. The guy sitting in the back, the bartender, I don't know her name, but the nice older woman that works behind the bar there. For the record, I said please to her. I asked for two beers, and I felt bad because I didn't say please, and I was feeling kind of like the dick indie rocker that treats older waitresses like shit. So I was like, I'm sorry, I'm can I please have two beers? And then she gave him for free. She was like, oh, you're whatever. She's great. That's beside the point. I want to say thank you.
An important part of the story, though, yeah. Because it's like those little things that happen that make a show memorable.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, she was also, you know, she's in the back and she's opening bottles of beer for people. And I would think she couldn't care less. But when I came up to get the beer after the show, she was like, that was really great. You guys are a ton of fun. We'd love to have you back. And she's, you know, of all the people in the bar, like, I didn't even know she was there when we went on stage. So Right. We weren't playing for her, but we were having fun and playing for ourselves, as greedy as that sounds. And people get it. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing, like you alluded to. And if everybody on stage is having fun, you are playing for yourselves, and the audience will pick up on that.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to a show and it looks like the band is just going through the motions, and it's like, yeah, we're doing the show because we booked it and now we have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear it in the music.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, certain stuff, obviously not everyone has to jump up and down and smash drum kits and stuff. And if you're going to see Air or whatever, like, I don't need people to be flipping out on me. But
no, I want to see Air pick up a keyboard and just like wheel it across the room.
But I mean, that said, you know, my favorite shows are probably going to be the higher energy ones. You know, I saw, not to put down Moby or DJs or electronica in general, but I saw when I was at South by Southwest, I saw Moby DJ did like the closing party for the film festival at Stubbs, which, as you know, is a really great venue and it's like fun people. Anyways, it could have been great, and it's Moby, and there's only like 200 people there. But he was checked out. He was completely checked out. And I don't know. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what they're playing or spinning or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's especially true with DJs, because you don't see them doing so much of the performing. that it's essential that they're engaged with the audience in some way, that it looks like they're not just pressing play on a laptop, but that they're actually, you know, carefully selecting the music, engaging the crowd and interacting with people and you know, injecting their personality into it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same thing with the rock band. You know, if they're just up there playing their instruments and singing, then whatever, you can listen to the CD. You want to see some sort of energy. It doesn't have to be high energy, but it has to be some kind of energy that you connect with.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree.
What
we're on the same page.
Speaking of which, you have some shows coming up?
We have one show coming up right now. It's next Wednesday night, April 9th at the Scene. It's put on by you may know these people, the Square Girls.
I've heard of them. I don't know them.
They're one of these aforementioned blog. You know, I feel horrible. It's like me not knowing how to say death to Anders, which I'm now admitting. I could have totally hidden under the fact that I wasn't sure if it was Anders or Anders, but the Square Girls have a blog, and then they decided, they're like, oh, fuck it, let's put on a show. Like, we know all these great bands, we've developed all these cool relationships, we love music, let's put on a show. So they started doing I think it's twice a month, they do a show at the Scene, which is kind of like how The Fold started at Silver Lake Lounge, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you go to the place where it desperately needs a kick in the ass.
Right.
So I'm guessing. I'm only speculating. That's how they ended up at the Scene.
No, and the Scene, you know, off the beaten path out
it's
in,
off
in
the
Glendale.
Beaten path. It could be
tons
it could
of
be
bands
great.
Have been playing there lately.
Yeah,
like as if it were like, you know, like a hotel cafe or something. You know, like it's really coming up.
I could be wrong, but I do think it's largely due to the Renaissance is largely due to the Square Girls' influence, bringing great bands out there, and then people realize where the venue is, and they realize it has good sound and cheap drinks, and all of a sudden, you know. It's the place. But so we're playing the Square Girls night with Death to Anders, another one of Is Good bands from one of your shows. And a couple other bands, Service Group, which my drummer Amy tells me that for a brief period she was in Service Group. I don't know if that's true or not, but and also another band called Manhattan Murder Mystery, which if it doesn't have like a cameo from Woody Allen playing clarinet, I'm going to be really, really disappointed.
Well, I'll get a report on that show from them when they come on this show. They're scheduled to come on in a couple of weeks. So, John, thanks so much for coming and hanging out. Let's sign off with another track from one of these CDs. What do you recommend?
I don't know. Let's take a look. God, there's so many good tracks to choose from.
This episode will be available for download, by the way, later today from myspace.com/thisisgood. And, of course, you can check out the Broken Remotes profile on isgoodmusic.com, which will be which John will go home and set up as soon as he leaves here.
let's do track 6. This is called Lose the Swagger.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest are the Broken Remotes, and where should people go for the latest up-to-date info on you guys? Is it MySpace or the website?
You can always find us at thebrokenremotes.com or MySpace/thebrokenremotes.
And I have a couple of shows happening. Just wanted to throw that out again. April 3rd is today. That's tonight at Spaceland. And then April 5th at Crane's Tavern. And a bunch more shows coming up. So check out myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com for all the latest up-to-date info on past, present, and future guests of Is Good. Here's the Broken Remotes.
Deep is your the public, you're the queen of France. I like it that way. Let you and I meet on common ground. I'll find enough if you. Let's keep it down.